Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com, a broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. Today, in many Eastern Catholic Churches, on this evening, as the sun is setting, we will be singing this hymn in a very mournful tone. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Answer quickly. Come close to my soul and redeem me. And that verse, sung in a very solemn tone, will be repeated three times after three verses are proclaimed. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts be merry. And then we'll sing again, hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Answer quickly, come close to my soul and redeem me. And during this time, the priests and deacons, altar servers, who are going to be celebrating this service, it's the evening vesper service, we will go into the sanctuary and we will change our vestments from the bright colors now to the dark colors of Lent. And at that point, Lent officially begins. The great fast officially begins in the Eastern Catholic Churches. Vespers, the evening prayer, begins the next day. So we're actually beginning Monday, the first day of Lent, with this Vesper service and this great, it's called the Great Prokimenon, sort of the dividing line liturgically in that service of the 2 days, ending of the first day and the beginning of the next day. So we change our vestments into the deep colors. We wear dark colors, maroon, red, purple, black, could be any of those, during the Lenten season, the vestments of the priest and deacon and servers, and also the altar covers. We cover the altars with these same colors. In the Eastern Catholic Churches, Lent begins, actually, in the Eastern Churches, 2 days before the Latin Rite Lent begins. In other words, we don't have Ash Wednesday. That is not the beginning of the Eastern Lent. The Eastern Lent begins, as I mentioned, on Sunday evening and goes all the way through to Holy Week, but not inclusive of Holy Week, which we also call Great Week or Passion Week, because that is a separate fast in itself. In fact, that was the most ancient fast, the week before the Pascha. And that came from the early centuries where the catechumenates would be, you know, those learning, being instructed for the faith to be baptized on the vigil for Pascha, for Easter. They would be experiencing a whole week of penance and fasting in preparation for their baptism. So it becomes a separate week in the Eastern Churches. But before that, we have 40 straight days, which includes the weekends. However, the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, are mitigated. In other words, we don't fast quite as strictly because our traditional fast is actually no meat or dairy products throughout Lent. In fact, we gave up dairy products today, this day, as Lent begins. prior to this, last week, we ate meat for the last time. Last Sunday, we gave up meat on Meat Fair Sunday. That's the Eastern version of Mardi Gras. You know, Fat Tuesday, only it's Fat Sunday. We eat meat for the last time last Sunday. Now, today, we eat dairy products for the last time. The idea is that we go into Lent having divested ourselves of the sort of the celebrative foods, you know, the fatty, rich foods of life. In fact, if you want to be very strict about it, the first week of Lent is supposed to be a week in which we don't eat at all except one day in the week. Can you imagine that? That's the most strictest form. And that would be on Wednesday after the pre-sanctify liturgy. For those who couldn't do it centuries ago, they'd say, okay, you can eat on Tuesday and Thursday as well. But not Monday, not the first day of Lent. That's still absolutely strict fast. So they were really serious about Lenten rigors a long time ago. If you can do it, that's fine. There are some people who still do it, mostly in monasteries in the East. But the idea is that we divest ourselves of the fatty things of life, not because they're bad, but because they're good, and they're used for celebration. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? When the prodigal son returned, his father instructed everyone to kill the fatted calf and celebrate. So it's a celebration of what is fattiness. That is what we abstain from. And that's why the strict rules would prohibit even oils, cooking with oils, in fact. In fact, we really go pretty dry. No alcohol, no oils, no fatty things. We go pretty dry and pretty vegan all during Lent, if you want to observe the strictest form. Now, in the different eparchies, that's what we call our dioceses in Eastern churches, each bishop will have their own requirements for fasting. And they don't require the faithful to abstain from meat and dairy all 40 days. You may, that is the traditional fast. It's the one I like to urge to my parishioners. They will usually modify that into things like no meat or dairy on Wednesday and Friday. You know, they'll make it a little more manageable for people. But if you can go for the gold, then by all means, please do it. But we also increase our prayer, and we have particular prayer, special services during the Lenten season. In the Eastern churches, we basically abstain from the consecration of the Eucharist during the week. But we do have Eucharist. Usually it's twice a week, or at least once a week. And that is at a special liturgy. It's not the regular divine liturgy, what the Latin rite would call the Mass. It's called a pre-sanctified liturgy, meaning that the gifts, bread and wine, meaning that the gifts, the bread, has already been pre-consecrated, consecrated prior to the week. And it is in repose, of course, in the tabernacle, which is always on the altar in the Eastern churches. And then that consecrated bread is received during the service of the pre-sanctified liturgy, which is a combination basically of Vespers and the reception of liturgy. It has elements that the Latin rite might recognize that are similar to something like Eucharistic adoration and benediction. That's the closest we come to that. We don't actually have Eucharistic adoration per se or benediction as does the Latin rite. We don't have it in that way, but we do have elements of it in services such as the pre-sanctified liturgy. So what happens is we abstain from the normal consecration, because that has a theme of the resurrection and also the crucifixion of Christ, as you probably know, in the Mass and in the liturgy. So we abstain from that because we're not there yet, sort of backing away from that. But we still need the Eucharist to help us on our rigorous journey, and hopefully it is rigorous for everyone. Maybe many of you listening who may not be Eastern Rite, maybe you want to take on that challenge and join us. So it is rigorous. So we need the Eucharist. We don't abstain from it entirely, but we do need it. So we have it in the pre-sanctified liturgy. We have the penitential matin services.
You're listening
morning,
to
and
Father
on
Thomas Loya,
the Saturdays of the East. We have what's called the All Soul Saturdays. You see, we have five All Soul Saturdays in the Eastern calendar. Most of them are during Lent, in which we pray for the deceased, and that's on Saturday. Saturday is always a day of praying for the deceased in the church. And we go one step further. Not only do we pray for them, but we actually mention all of them by name. That's right. The parishioners will submit to the priest the names of their deceased family members and also the members of the parish. And we do a special funeral type service at the end of the liturgy. The liturgy is dedicated to all souls. And we will mention at that service by name all of our deceased family members and members of the parish. They never go forgotten. And that's kept in a book. The book is updated each year and always always will we be praying for our loved ones in the church. Now, there you see a great, great aspect of the compassion of the church. No one is ever forgotten, ever. We always remember. And we go even one more step further. We actually ask God to remember our deceased forever. The final words in our funeral services are two words, actually. Eternal memory is where we're asking Jesus, God Himself, to remember this person, to take that person's soul into God's mind and memory and heart, because only God can remember them perfectly and forever and love them perfectly and forever. Even though we may want to, we may try, and we might be very dutiful about it, we're not perfect. And we want the best for our loved ones, even better than what we could give them, no matter how much we love them, no matter how much we try. We want even better for them. So who can do better but God Himself? And so we ask God, make this person's memory eternal. It doesn't mean in our memory, it means in God's memory. Now, this day is called the Sunday of Cheese Fair, as I mentioned, because we give up dairy products such as cheeses for this time and until the full time of Lent. But it's also called the expulsion of Adam from paradise. Also,
you're listening to
Brother Thomas Lawyer
on Light of
the
East.
We actually have a ceremony where we ask each other forgiveness. We actually all embrace one another and ask each other for forgiveness. If there's any way that we have hurt each other in any way or anybody, and we ask forgiveness. And that's how we begin Lent, because Lent is all about forgiveness of sins and our repentance. So it has to begin within ourselves. It has to begin at home with those closest to us. Not only do we do it at church at the Forgiveness Vespers, but we also go home and ask our family members, husbands, wives, children, so on, grandparents, whatever. We ask them for forgiveness. We do what's called a mutual ceremony of forgiveness. We all ask forgiveness of each other. And in fact, that ceremony, while it's done uniquely at the beginning of Lent in the Eastern churches, that ceremony actually is done every night in Byzantine monasteries. More about this beginning of Lent when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern Lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com, and then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
I'm Bishop Robert Pipta of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, and you are listening to our very own Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
And now, some Byzantine spirituality from Father Tom Loya.
Look at all this traffic. Bumper to bumper. Now I'm going to be late. Next time you're stuck in traffic, use some Byzantine spirituality. Look at every car and imagine each one to be a knot on your Jesus prayer, your chutke, your rosaries. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Every car becomes a knot or a bead. Or you could keep in mind what a child said in my parish. Mommy, I like traffic jams. It's like all the cars are hugging us. Out of the mouths of babes, glory to Jesus Christ.
I will be
Welcome back to Light of the East on this mournful day. Yes, it's mournful because it begins the season of Lent, the season of repentance. But at the same time, as always, especially in the Eastern churches, we live in the both and. So yeah, it's mournful because you see, we take on the posture of Adam and Eve who have been expelled from paradise by their sin. It's a mournful time. As we said earlier, we have this great procumen that we sing, that we say how we are in distress, O God, save us, we are in distress. So we have this mournful theme. But at the same time, living in the both and as we do, there is a joy. There's the joy of repentance. In fact, we call Lent the springtime of repentance, the flowering of repentance. We bring in at the same time a very beautiful and positive imagery, springtime, flowers, while at the same time we're shedding tears of repentance. It's a beautiful kind of confluence of the hope and the joy that comes from being repentant. See, if you're repentant, it does bring you to joy because you become closer to God that way. In fact, there is a custom in the Eastern churches which came to us from the great spiritual masters of the desert, the desert fathers, the great monks. It's a little instrument called the chutki. It has other names, but it's basically a prayer rope or Jesus prayer. It looks like a rosary, but it's not a rosary. It's similar to the rosary. The monks used to wear it around their wrist and pray it all day long. It's made from one single cord. One single cord. It's woven from one single cord. And what's woven on the cord are knots. They look like beads, but they're knots from the cord. And on each one of those beads, there could be 30 of them, 50 or 100. We say, not a Hail Mary, but we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we synchronize that with our breathing so that our very breath becomes prayer. Our very breath, our very body, our whole cells become a prayer of repentance. But at the end of that chatki, that Jesus rope, that prayer rope, made with one cord, is a woven cross from the cord. And the bottom of that cross has like a fuzzy ending to it, sort of fuzzy at the end. And the reason for that is supposed to be used to wipe your tears as you pray and cry for your repentance, for your sins, as you pray the great repentant prayer, the Jesus prayer. So it's a very mournful time, yet at the same time, one that leads to joy. Let's look at some of the liturgical text, as always, because they always give us the theology. They give us the sense of what it is that we're praying about, what we're doing. This is from the Vesper service, Cheese Fair Sunday. O beloved paradise, beauty of springtime. See, we're actually talking to nature as though we can speak to it. You might remember the great days of Disneyland, of the Disney characters, the Disney movies and so like that, the cartoons early on, especially when I was a child, you know, the Mickey Mouse and all that. They used to have imagery where it's like nature, trees and animals were talking. And so it is with these liturgical texts. It's very, very poetic. It's very creative and meaningful, touching. We say as if we're praying to the Garden of Paradise. We're praying to a garden. Oh, beloved paradise, beauty of springtime and divinely created abode, unending joy and delight, the glory of all the just, the enchantment of the prophets and the dwelling place of the saints. By the rustling of your leaves, implore the Creator of the universe to open the gates that I have closed by my fault. Let me partake of the tree of life and share the joy that I once found in you. Now, not only is this very imaginative and creative and beautiful, but it's also deeply theological. Did you catch that phrase, by the rustling of your leaves? That's one of my favorites, because whenever you walk through a forest, a woods, a park, and especially on a day with a little bit of breeze, you hear the rustling of leaves. And I've always enjoyed that. It's like the trees are speaking. They make this really beautiful sound. At different times of the year, it's different. They make different sounds as leaves during the autumn because they're a little more crisp. So they make a little bit different sound. And in the summertime, they make a different sound because they're very bright and healthy leaves. But nonetheless, the rustling of the leaves is, it's like it's soothing. It's like, it's almost like God is talking to me when I hear those leaves rustling. And here in our ancient liturgical text, we mention that as if we're asking these trees to talk to us and talk for us to God by the rustling of their leaves. implore the creator of the universe to open the gates that I have closed by my fault. Now, on the icon screen, which is the great wall that separates the sanctuary from the nave in Byzantine Catholic churches, many Eastern churches, you have a set of doors in the middle and two flanking those middle doors. The middle doors are considered to be the gates of heaven, the royal doors, the gates. And it makes reference here in this prayer we just talked about from Vespers about the gates. And those gates are symbolic of the gates of paradise that were once open when Adam and Eve were pure. And then when they sin, the gates become closed. And of course, they were cast out. So we use the gates on the icon screen in the same way, because beyond that icon screen, beyond those gates, is the sanctuary, which represents paradise, the Holy of Holies. And those gates are open at certain times during the liturgy, especially during communion, when everything is wonderful and unified and great and in harmony, like it was with Adam and Eve before the fall. But then there are times when we close those gates, and the priest and deacon stand outside those gates, taking on the posture of Adam, as though we are him, cast out of paradise, begging to be let back in. And indeed, we are him. We do take on during Lent the posture of Adam. We refer to Adam and Eve a lot. We identify ourselves with Adam and Eve because we share, by virtue of original sin, in their original sin. By virtue of our fallen human nature, we all share in that sin because we all sin just as they did. So as we hear in this prayer, where it says, to open the gates that I have closed by my fault, it's a very powerful statement because it's referring to Adam and Eve who closed the gates of paradise because of their sin. But it also is saying that we're like Adam and Eve, and we do close the gates. We do. We are responsible for the gates of heaven being closed. Only now those gates become the gates of our relationship with Christ. We close those gates. We close off Christ by our sin. And that is beautifully dramatized, made palpable liturgically with the icon screen in the Byzantine churches. And then it says here, let me partake of the tree of life and share the joy that I once found in you. Now, as I once found you, meaning paradise. We're talking to paradise as if it was a living person. The joy that I once found in you. You see, we were made for joy. Life on this earth was meant to be as it was in the time of Adam and Eve before they sinned. You see, once they sinned, we came into this era, which St. John Paul II calls historical man. So he talks about the three eras of human history. Original man, which was before the fall, historical man after the fall, and eschatological man, which means how we'll be in heaven forever. It's really quite brilliant. It's three phases of our history of humanity, our whole story. And so historical man is the time we're living in now. It's after the fall. But even though that was a very unhappy thing, it is called at the same time in the church a happy fault because Christ came into historical time, into our reality, because of our sin, to redeem us. So the sin, the fault, becomes, in a sense, turned into gift. Now, not that God wanted us to sin and fall. He didn't want that. That wasn't in the cards. That wasn't in his plan. But the fact that we did caused God himself to come into our reality and to redeem us and redeem creation, to kind of restore what we once had, at least an echo of what we once had and what we will have in fullness again and even beyond in paradise. So the thing to remember, and we forget this in our world because we think that the drudgery and the fallenness of our world is normal. We just accept it. People will say when they mess up, well, what do you expect? I'm only human. But actually, whenever you do something glorious is when you should say, well, I'm only human. Because that is the truth of the human person. The truth of the human person is not our sin. That's the truth of our reality that we live in. But it's not the truth of the human person. And that's part of what Lent takes us back to, who we really were at one time. We had this sort of longing for paradise during Lent. It's woven through all of our prayers in the Byzantine church during the Lenten season, because we're like Adam and Eve longing to get back in. We remember an echo of what we once had, how good it was until we sinned. And that's what we meditate on during Lent. We contemplate the fact that, you know, we really were meant for something better. It was that way. And we're still meant for something better on this earth while we live here. We're made to live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. We're meant to live not sinning, but we do sin. And so we have a longing. That's part of what the guilt of sin is. It's the longing for being where and what we actually once were, what we were intended to be then, now, and forever. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab and on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Lent, a season for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Lent is, yes, a time of reflection, and it's a hard time sometimes, but I really look forward to the liturgies of the Triduum. It takes us back to the beginning when God created the earth out of his great love for us, and to the time, unfortunately, of the crucifixion where Jesus offered himself for us, then to the wonderful happiness of Easter and the resurrection.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.